Okay, everybody, side. Today's daf is daf tes. And we're holding four lines from the bottom of Ches Amid Beis. You recall we finished off yesterday's daf. We were talking about the size of the koisos for purposes of the arba koisos on Pesach. And we concluded that the size of the koisos is the size of a revius. And the Gemara that we're going to learn now is very similar to the Gemara that we had at the end of Pesachim. How do you measure a revius? It says the Gemara, Amar Rav Chanan Luga D'Oraisa T'munta Atika D'Moraisa D'Tzipori. If you want to know the shear of a loig, a revius that we have for drinking wine, for the Arba Koisis, as well as for Kiddush, that shear revius is what we call a revius of a loig. Everybody knows that there are various measures in the Talmud. We start off, for instance, with and in the Torah, we start with an Eifah, we go to a Sa'ah. In every Sa'ah you have six Kavin. In every Kav you have four Loigin or Lugin. And every Loig has in it four Revi'asin. That's why it's called a Revi'as a Loig, because it's a quarter. So you have four of them. So says Reb Chanan, if you go to Tzipori, which is a town in northern Eretz Yisrael, and you get there a temunta, temunta is the name of a container, a measure, atika, an old one, demuraisa, that was used for transporting or holding muraisa. Muraisa is fish yoach or fish hash. It's a mixture of fish and the sauce and some other things. So in Tzipori, people would use those measures. They were called temunta. And the exact measure of that container, the temunta container, was a loig. So now, on Pesach, or throughout the year, whenever you needed revias, go and pour out from that loig into four separate containers. Each one, or eat four separate koisois, and each kois will now contain a revias. Omer Bioina, the Chakamnala says, Takn Charatin, and I remember in my youth, the base Rabbianai have a Mechilin Bodvash. In the base Rabbianai, they used to use those containers. They were multi purpose, not only used for fish hash or fish sauce, but was also used for containing honey. Tony, we also learned, Chatzishminis Tavronis. Tavronis is Tveria. If you bought or brought a container called the Chatzi Shminis, it held a half of a Shminis, in Tveria, Hayishana, the old one, that was also the shear of Revius. Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Hadein Didono. Oh, that's not just the Yishana, that's ours. In other words, even today, if you go to Tveria, you can get a container which is called the Chatzi Shminis. And then that's the same container that they used to have. Feitimora, if that's the same container, why do we just get finished saying, go and get the old container, right? The Lashon of the Gemara was Hayishana. That's the first word here on the Amid. Rabbi Yochanan says you can get it today, so you don't have to get the old container. Says the Gemara, because min begein, v'lam akar li atika min begein dehava biyoyme. Why do we call and say, go and get that old container, since there was a container contemporarily at the times of Rabbi Yochanan? Evdimor Isti Amri, I'll tell you why. Isti Amri, some say, the havas zeira v'rabsa. The Isti Amri, the azeira v'lois azeira kama de havas. That over the years, over time, the containers changed in size. And that therefore, the ones that they had originally, years ago, were zeira, they were smaller. For Rabsa, today they are larger. Aha. And therefore, you cannot measure a loig or a revius based on today's containers. You have to go measure them based on the old containers from years ago. The Isti Amri and others say that even those old containers, they were small. Over the years, they increased the size. And since then, as zeira, they now also diminished the size, so they started small, they went up, and now they made smaller containers again. However, they didn't make it as small as they used to be. And so therefore, according to both Isti Amris, according to both versions, today's container is larger than the container of years ago. I say container, the measure of years ago. And that being the case, Zoktuch Yimara, that's why there's a little bit of a disconnect between the original Tani that we learned, that if you want to measure out your Revius, get the Chatzi Shminis, Tavronis, and Tveria from years ago, the Yeshana. And what Rabbi Yochanan says, that today we have the same containers. We have the same containers bearing the same name, but they do not contain the same volume. And therefore, if you want to measure out your Revius, get the old ones, don't get the new ones. In fact, back in Bavli, you'll recall, the Gemara said over there, that the difference between the old container and the new container was exactly the shear of a Revius. And therefore, the easy way to go and figure out what the shear of a Revius was, take a new container, pour out its contents into the old, and whatever is remaining in the pouring container, that's exactly a shear of a Revius for purposes of the Arba Kaisis. Gemara says, I have another way of determining what happens if I don't live in Tveria and I don't live in Tzipori and I need a container to go and measure for purposes of the Revius of the Arba Koises. It's Kamu Shir Shul Kois. What's the Shir? Rabbi Yosi B'Shem Rabbi Yosi Ben Pazi Rabbi Yosi Bar Bivi B'Shem Rabbi Shmuel Etzpo Ayim Al Etzpo Ayim Al Roim Etzpa Mechza Ushlish Etzpa. It's easy to figure out. The cubic volume of the kois is 2 fingers by 2 fingers, and that means the width and the length. And now we're talking about the roim, the height of the kois of the container is etzpa, 1 etzpa, umechtze and 1/2 an etzpa, ushlish etzpa and 1/3 of an etzpa. If you add up 1/2 and 1/3, you get to 5/6. Why? Because a mechtze is 3 out of 6. If you divide up the etzpa into 6 portions, it's 3 out of 6, that's a mechtze. Shlish etzpa is 1/3 of 6, that would mean 2. So you add 2 together with 3, you get 5/6. So it's 2 by 2 and 1 5/6. This, by the way, is slightly different than what we had in Mesechtes Pesachim, because in Mesechtes Pesachim, you'll recall, we had 2 by 2 by 2.7. And remember, this wasn't that something that somebody dreamed up, but this was, in fact, very arithmetically precise based on the mikveh that they figured out that had to be Amma al Amma Barum Sholish Amois. And you remember we converted the Amois into Tvachim and then ultimately into its boys, and it came out exactly that since we're not talking over here about a mikveh, we're talking about a much smaller shear, a revias, we came out a cheshbon of 2 by 2 by 2.7. So l'chayr, this 2 by 2 by 1.1 5/6 would seem to be imprecise. And the Tosfos in Masechtas Pesachim asks that kasha. And Tosfos says over there, similar to what we find in Shas, by other measures, that the Gemara often says that the measure that was originally in the Midbar, after that they changed the measures as they came into Yerushalayim, then afterwards as they came into Tzipori. So here too, when we're talking about the fingers, or the finger widths, they measure them slightly differently as they went from location to location. And so therefore the 2 by 2 by 1 5/6 really equals the 2 by 2 by 2.7. It all depends historically when they traveled from one place to another and they settled elsewhere when the measures were changed. Okay, Zuki Moravaita. We will be goyris what we have in the parentheses, because you'll see that that'll be crucial for the forthcoming Gemara. Tani yovesh kizayis divirib nosen. Although we spoke about at length about the Arba Koisis yesterday, you'll recall we began this sugya talking about carrying on Shabbos a liquid. And the Gemara said the amount of the liquid is kedei mezigas hakois. And we determined what that means is that if you're taking undiluted wine, it's a roiva revius. And if you're taking diluted wine, it would be a full revius after you mixed the roiva revius with 3 parts of water. Now, what happens if this wine is left to stand and it eventually congeals? What is the shear now? Says the Gemara, Tani, we learned Yovish Kizayis Divir Amnasin. Amnasin says that if you take a revius of wine and let it stand, the toxicity is such that it will eventually congeal into the shear of a kezayis. So if you carry a wine which is dried out, this is not what we call today dry wine, but we're talking about really dry wine. It's so dry that it's concealed into a solid, then the shear of that is a kezayis, as they zokt Reb Nosson. Rabbanan de Kisrib, Reb Yossi Barbivi, B'shem Shmuel, they said that Asid Reb Nosson ki Reb Shimon. They said Reb Nosson holds exactly like Reb Shimon. Kamod Reb Shimon Oma B'Reviyas, just like Reb Shimon said that the shear is a Reviyas. For carrying by liquid wine, Kenom Reb Nosson B'Reviyas Likishi Yikrash. V'yehei boy kezayis. Reb Nosson is totally consistent with Reb Shimon's view, because there too what you have to do is you take the wet wine, you let it dry out and congeal, and guess what? The congealed revius of wine turns into a kezayis of solid, dry, congealed wine. And now the Gemara is going to go from the inyan of congealed wine to congealed blood. Reb Simon b'shem Reb Shuben Levi tells us Maase b'perdas Rebbe. A perd, as you know, is a mule, and here the perdas presumably means a female mule of Beis Rebbe Shemesa that died, that expired. The tiru as dama mishum nevela, and you had a collection of dam that someone touched, and the person wanted to know, did he become tamei nevela, that he has to go to the mikveh, it'll be a tvul yoyim, and he'll have to wait for Herif Shemesh. Is there a problem of dam of a nevela of this peret or pirda of the mule? So what did the Gemara paskin? Reb Simon said b'shem Reb Shuma Levi that this was his maaseh b'beis Rebbe, and they said that it's tohar. V'shol Reb Lezer asked Reb Simon. Reb Lezer, really Reb Luzer, asked Reb Simon, tell me, ad kama, is there a shear involved? In other words, what was the amount of the blood? Was it just a mashahu, a teaspoonful? Or was it a large container, a gallon? In other words, are we saying that it's tor because there is no tumma which attaches to dam nevela, only to basar nevela, and therefore it makes no difference what the volume is? Or maybe no, that in fact it does make a difference, and the reason why they were metired is because you didn't have a shiur. And Reb Simon didn't pay any attention. He ignored Reb Lozer Shaila. And therefore Reb Lozer says, well, I'm going to go to the source. Since Reb Simon said it b'shem Reb Shuma Levi, v'shol Reb Shuma Levi, Reb Lozer went directly to Reb Shuma Levi, and he asked him, the omalei ad revius tohar, yoiser merevius tameh. Reb Shuma ben Levi responded to Reb Simon and said that it depends. If the amount of blood is less than a revius until a revius, then it's tohar. If it's more than a revius, it's going to be tamei. And therefore, when they were metired by Beis Rebbe, Muzduch Zayin, it must have been a situation where the amount of blood, in fact, was less than a revius, and that's why they were metired. So Reb Lozer was very pleased that now he knows the answer, that dam of a nevela is metamei, and the shear is a shear revius, but he was upset at Reb Simon, because he asked Reb Simon, and Reb Simon ignored him. The Gemara doesn't tell us why he ignored him, but it just says, Uvoash l'Reb Lozer ad lechozalei Reb Simon shmu asa. He was upset that Reb Simon didn't respond to his question about this halacha. The Gemara doesn't tell us why Reb Simon didn't respond, but we may be able to get an answer why he didn't respond from the next Gemara, which we're going to start in a moment. But the conclusion is that dam of nevela is metame, just like basar. Basar of nevela, of course, the shear is bekezayis. Here, by the dam, the shear is a shear revius. Now, the Gemara tells us, Rabibi havi Yosef masli hadein uvda. Rabibi was sitting, and he repeated this story. What story? The story that in Beis Rebbe, they had a mule. The mule expired. It's dead. And they metire the dam mishum nevela. And now we have a similar shaila. Omale Reb Yitzchak bar Bisna, skip the word kahena, ad revius tor yoisimikan tomei. Let me ask you, is the reason why it's tar is because it was less than a revius. But had it been more than a revius, it would be tameh. This is the question Rabbi Yitzchak bar Bisna posed to Rabbi. Uboat bay. The lashon uboat bay literally means to go and give him a kick. But Taklan Chatatin says, don't learn it in such a negative, literal fashion, but rather Rabbi ignored him. In other words, he heard the question and he did not respond. Similar to the previous case. Omli Rav Zrika. So Rav Zrika said to Rabbi, come on, begin the shol lecha at Boad Bay. He asked you an innocent halacha lemaisa, tell us, what are the details of that story? You just told us that they were metayr the base Rebbe. Is it because it was less than a revius? Or maybe, no, even more than a revius, it's tahar, because there's no din of dam nevela. Maybe there's only din of basa nevela. Why didn't you answer him? Why did you go and ignore his question? Omele, he said, I hope that Rav Yitzchak bar Bisna has no tainus to me. The reason is, begin to have a dati be be'itna be. It's nothing personal. It's unfortunately, my mind was unsettled, and we'll see why it was unsettled. In other words, I unfortunately am walking around with this major, major problem on my head, and therefore anybody that asks me a question, automatically I don't respond, not because it's anything personal. I'm just not in the mood for answering questions. What's the reason why? Why didn't he have dati be? So the Gemara quotes a pasuk in the Toichecha. The Omer Abchanan, Bo Yuchayecha Tulum Lechom Mineged. The pasuk continues, Ufachadetza Laila V'yoymam V'loisamin B'chayecha. The Toichecha, as we know, Nebuch is telling us about bad times in Klal Yisrael. These bad times, unfortunately, have repeated themselves throughout the generations. And specifically, this pasuk, Bo Yuchayecha Tulum Lechom Mineged, your life is going to be hanging in the balance in front of you. What is this referring to? So the Taklan Chatatin explains, and by the way, I believe Rashi and Chumash says the same pshat, that we're talking about a situation where in the good old days when people lived in the agricultural society, then everybody, or at least most people, owned farms. And on those farms, it wasn't just that the farm was for purposes of business, it was also for purposes of supporting your own family. So the basic staple that people would presumably grow in their farms was tzvua, was grain. Because from grain you obviously can go and make throughout the year chametz, and for Pesach, matzah, etc. Now the Hoyuchayech Tzvua Chamineged says, Taklan Chatatin is referring to a person that unfortunately has no farm. Apparently he's too poor to own a farm. And what does he do to ensure that his family has chometz throughout the year? He goes to a wholesaler, and at one point he buys a very large quantity of chitim, and he puts it in his storage bin, wherever, and then he uses that throughout the year. That's meaning what happens this year, Baruch Hashem, I was able to go and get this wholesale shipment of chitim. Who knows what's going to be next year? Maybe next year there'll be a shortage I won't be able to get. And that's the Chayecha Tzulum Chamineged. Uvachadat Alayla V'yoymam is a little bit more difficult, because Zeh Alukiech Menasidki. This is a person who's not buying it from a wholesaler, but from a retailer, and he's buying it, instead of once a year, he's buying it, L'mashal, once a month. And he's concerned, Oy Veve, the reason why he's buying it retail once a month, presumably because he doesn't have enough funds to go and buy it once a year. So therefore he has to pay more money and get it in smaller installments. But once again, what happens if next month the Sidki is not going to have any tvua for me to buy? And the Pasuk finishes, he doesn't even have enough money to go and buy it on a monthly basis, but rather on a daily basis, he's able to go and scratch together a few coins. He lives literally from hand to mouth, or from pocket to mouth. So every day he goes to the palter, goes to the baker, and says, here, I just have enough money to go and buy one loaf. Says the Gemara, that's of course the most radical, that's the most difficult situation, that he's so poor that he cannot go and buy chitim, but he can only buy from the palter on a daily basis. And what happens if he comes one day to the baker and the baker said, sorry, we didn't get any chitim this morning and we have no bakery goods available. Or maybe everything is sold out. Then my family is going to go hungry the entire day. I'm in the third category. And unfortunately, as a result, every day I'm always concerned, Baruch Hashem, the bakery was open today. Maybe tomorrow the governor is going to say, because of social distancing, all bakeries are closed for a week. Who knows what's going to happen from day to day? And therefore, I'm unfortunately on this tremendous oil, and that's why I wasn't able to respond to his question. Not that I was ignoring Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Bisna because he's a bad guy. He's a very distinguished Talmud Chacham. But just my mind was totally unsettled. I wasn't able to respond. And presumably that's the answer to the earlier Shmuel. What's the reason why Reb Simon didn't respond to Reb Lazar? Presumably for the same reason that his mind was unsettled because of these types of issues. Okay, so Tzoktimar Abomau Kedoin Lemaisa, what is the halacha? What's the din by Dam Nevela? Do we say by Dam Nevela that it is totally tahor under all circumstances? Or do we say it depends whether you have a sheer revius or not? Says Yimara Hayed Reb Yeshua ben Pesoira, Al Dam Nevela Shuhu Tahor. Reb Yeshua ben Pesoira said authoritatively, Dam Nevela is tahor. Says Yimara, it sounds like it's tahor under all circumstances. And therefore I can be poishit my Shaila, that it has nothing to do with a shiur. The only din of nevela is basar nevela, or besar nevela, the flesh, but not the dam. That's the psak. Everyone knows you have no raya. When Rav Shul ben Pesoyda said that dam nevela is tor, mau tor, he means tor mila hachshir. It means that it's not machshir le kabel tumah. As we know, there are seven mashkois that are machshir. Yad Shochad Dam, one of the seven is Dam. The question is, which Dam? Do you say all Dam or not all Dam? So the Gemara says that he felt, Rabbi Shua ben Pesoyda, what the Gemara is interpreting, Rabbi Shua ben Pesoyda's halacha, that when he said Dam the Vela is Tor, it doesn't mean that it is intrinsically or inherently Tor, but rather it's Tor Melahachshir, it cannot be Machshir Lekabutum. Because this is one of those dams that is not machshir. Avo letamois metame, but dam nevela is metame, just like besar nevela is metame. And presumably again, the shear would be a revius or more, and not less than revius. So therefore, we don't have a crystal clear answer to our question, because we thought Rabbi Shub ben Pesoyda is saying across the board that dam nevela is not mitame. Says Yimar, no, it's very possible that it is mitame. And old Rav Shua ben Pesoyda meant when he said that it's tor, he means tor melahachshir, that it's not machshir lekabel tumah. Frank Yimar, is that the right pshat? Taman taninan, we learned in a Mishnah. Where's the Mishnah? A Mishnah mesechtes machshirin, which as you know is a mesecht in Seder Taharos. It says in the Mishnah, dam hasheretz kibsore, the dam of a sheretz has the same din like the basar of the sheretz. That what? It's metame ve'enoy machshir. Just like basar is metame by a sheretz, it's not machshir, because the basar of a sheretz is not a liquid, so certainly it's not machshir, it's not one of the seven mashkois. Same thing applies to the dam of the sheretz, that it's metame, but not machshir. Says Yomara, says vayt to the Mishnah, ve'en lanu ki yoytzebayt. There is nothing similar to it. In other words, Dam Sheretz in a special category of its own, there's nothing similar. But you just said now that Dam Nevela is in the exact same category. That what? It's Torah Melahachshir, but it's Metameh. So Zeitzachos, that the Pshat that we said in Rabbi Shua ben Pesoyda is incorrect. You cannot say that Rabbi Shua ben Pesoyda meant that Dam Nevela is Torah in the sense that it's Torah Melahachshir, but it's Metame, because we see from the Mishnah Machshirin that only Dam Sheretz is in that exclusive category. All other Dam, presumably, is Metame and Machshir, or it's Torah Legamri. So when Rabbi Shub and Besoyda said, Adam Nevela Shu Tor, apparently he meant to say that it's not just Torah Melahachshir, but it's totally Torah. Says Igmar, no, you have no Raya. when the Gemara, when the Mishnah says Veinlanu Kiyoytzibai, he means Legabe the Sheer Tamasai Shedomai Metame Kibsorai. It's very possible that Rabbi Shua ben Psoira is taka saying that just like Dam Sheret is Metame, but it's not Machshir. Same thing is by Dam Nevela. It's Metame, but not Machshir. It says Veinlanu Kiyoytzibai by the Dam Sheret. He meant in the shear, because everybody knows that the shear of the basar of the sheret, a sheret's metame bikadasha, and the veil is only metame bikazayis. That's what we mean in the Mishnah. Dam sheret is exclusive in the sense that even a trople, a little drop of blood of a sheret. After all, most shratim don't have more than a couple of drops of blood. So therefore, the little blood that you can get from a sheret is metameh and not machshir. What's the shear that it's metameh? If it's large enough, like the drop of blood, if it's large enough, like a lentil, bikadash. But it could very well be that dam nevela is also metameh and not machshir. But what will be the shear by nevela? Certainly not that of a sheret. Not a shear of an adasha, it'll be the shear of a revius. Now, why would it be a shear of a revius? Because of like the Gemara said before, just like we say by wine, the wine which is revius congeals into a shear of a kezias. So now we're going to do the reverse. The basar of nevela, when it's hard, is a shear of kezias. When you uncongeal it, you don't take basar and convert it into blood, but the religious halachic parallel would be kezayis legabi the basar and the revius legabi the dam. So that's also machshir dam nevela is machshir. Omer Rabbi Yossi says the question you keep on posing whether dam nevela. Remember, this all started off with the story of the pirda of this female mule, the base rebbe, that they were mitired the dam mishum nevela. And the question remains on the table. Does that mean that dam of a nevela is not metame at all? Or does it mean it is metame, but it's metame b'shir revius? And the case of that story was that it was less than revius. So we try to bring a raya from Rabbi Shua ben Pesoira, and we said that we do not have a clinching raya, because you can interpret Rabbi Shua ben Pesoira in a couple of ways. And therefore, Omer Rabbi Yossi, pligi batrein amirohim. Emerson, it's a machloikis between Tom. It's a machloikis. Chad omer tamei v'chad omer tohar. One holds that it's tamei. In other words, dam is metame, but of course it's metame b'shir revius. And the other one holds that it's tohar legamri. Mandi omer tamei k'Reb Yehuda. Mandi omer tohar k'Reb Yeshua ben Pesoira. The one that holds its tamei is like Reb Yehuda, and the one that holds its tohar is like Reb Yeshua ben Pesoira. That Reb Shua ben Pesoira is one that we just had a moment ago. That hey, Reb Shua ben Pesoira, dam nevela shu tohar. Now we said according to the first pshat it means tohar milahachshir, but it's metame. Now Reb Yossi said no. We're going to learn Reb Shua ben Pesoira parshit pshat. Since it said hey, Reb Shua ben Pesoira, the dam nevela shu tohar, we mean it's tohar across the board. It's not machshir. It's not metame. It's tohar legamri. Where do we find that there's a din of tumah? That's Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda and Abraisa holds, and we don't have it in our Gemara, but the Taklan Chadate, it's not a Abraisa, it's a Mishnah, Mesechtas Idiois, the beginning of the fifth Perek. If you want to look at the Taklan Chadate, it's right before the wide lines down below. Two lines before, Man the Omer Tomek Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda Hu the Omer Bereish Perek Hei the Idiois, the Dam Nevela, Beisil Mitamin, Ukadish Parish, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, the Dafke B'Revias, Ukadimrin Mbavli in Menachis. So in fact, we have no Emachloikis, we have Rabbi Yehuda that says that it's Metame, and what's the Shir of the Tumah? Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda says B'Shir Revias, and we have Rabbi Shua ben Pesoira that says that in fact it happens to be Tohar. Omale Rav Avduma, Demin Nechusa, V'Yois, it good Gizot. Good kizot in the fact that you are bringing that the advocate of Tumah was Rabbi Yehuda. Because Rabbi Yehuda was no small fry, if you will, but in fact he was very distinguished. Rabbi Yehuda Moiraina de Beinasiya Hava. Rabbi Yehuda, in his time, he was the Moira Haroah, he was the Poisik for the Beis HaNasi. The Nasi needed someone that would paskin all shyness for the Beis HaNasi, and his era, Rabbi Yehuda was that Poisik. We find, for instance, by the Beis Resh Kalusa, that Rav Nachman, who was a Chadban, the Chassid de Bein Nasiya, he was the Edom of the Resh Kalusa. Rav Nachman was the Posek for the Resh Kalusa. Here too, Rabbi Yehuda was the Posek for the Beis HaNasi, and therefore presumably the Halacha will be like him, that the Halacha is that, in fact, although we said in the Perdes Beis Rebbe that it was Tohar, that case was talking about that it was Pachos mi Revius. However, had it been more than a Revius, Einoch Enami, it would be Tomei. And that's the Gemara's conclusion. Okay, we continue on.
So, in conclusion, then it's everyone, everybody, it's not Machshir. The Daman Neveil is not Machshir, but it's a Machlokas, whether it's Matame or not, according to Yehuda, or...
We don't know for a fact whether everybody would agree that it's not Machshir. We do know, based on this final memra of Rabbi Yossi, that whether it's Matame or not, it's a Machlokas. The one man the Yomer holds, and that's Rabbi Shua ben Psoira, that it's totally Tohoir. Well, according to Rabbi Yehuda, more than Revius, it's Matame. What they would hold Legabi being Machshir, the Gemara comes up with no conclusion. There was one interpretation that when Rabbi Shua ben Psoira says that it's Tor, it means Tor Melahachshir. But according to the Gemara's conclusion of Rabbi Yossi, we're Doche that Pshat, Rabbi Shua ben Psoira holds it's Tor Legabi. The Torah Legami doesn't necessarily mean that it's not Machshir. It could be there is Machshir, but Legami Hilchas Tumah V'Tahara, it's Tohar. Again, the Gemara doesn't address that, as well as what does Rabbi Yehuda hold. Rabbi Yehuda clearly holds that it's Tomei, because he paskas like Beisil and Masechtas Idias, that if it's more than Revius, it's Metame. Whether or not it's also Machshir, the Gemara doesn't address that at all. Okay? So we have a Machloikis whether it's Metame. I'm sorry?
So Yad Shochet Dam is referring to the dam of a human or of a kosher behemoth?
That could very well be. By the way, of course, remember, nevela could be a kosher animal too. It just means an animal that was not kishochten. So therefore, the nevela, although the nevela of Argamar is talking about a pirda, the Gemara is not distinguishing between the nevela of a kosher or non-kosher animal. So what you are saying about the dam could very well be dam of, maybe a dam of a chaya. Well, dam v'chaya is perhaps that's a nevela v'chaya is metame, so maybe dam v'chaya is metame.
Yeah, dam mit v'chaya or dam mis v'chaya. Mm-hmm. That was
in the Beis Hamikdash. That was the Beis Hamikdash. Baruch atu avinoi eliheini melech u'olam shehakol nihyeh b'dvara. The mit v'chaya, the mis v'chaya, that was all talking about in the Beis Hamikdash, and the mit v'chaya is talking about in the base mitbechayim, and mizbechayim is talking about, or mid, with a dalit, mitbechayim, the blood that they did as rika on the mizbech. And the Gemara was learning from, it says in the Pasuk, legabi dam lo tichlenu, al oretz tishpechenu kamayim. So, the type of blood which is shoifich kamayim, that is machshir, but other types of blood, it's not machshir. So you have other Gemaras to deal with this in greater detail, but for purposes of our Gemara, Dam Nevel is a Machloikis, whether it's Metam.
The Dam is Machshir.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, maybe that's only if it's not Tamei.
Could be. Once again, our Gemara doesn't address that, and you'd have to look at Maseches Machshirin for further details about whether it's Machshir or not. We return for a moment to the end of our Mishnah that we learned yesterday. Said in our Mishnah, back on Ches Amud Aleph, that if the Gizbarim that are coming in three times a year to do the Trumas Halishka, we didn't want there to be even the appearance of a possible impropriety, and therefore they had to be careful that they did not wear cuffs on the bottom of their pants or a hem on the bottom of their togas, because we're afraid that people are going to say, you know why this person became poor? Or this person became rich because he used to go and smuggle out some coins each time when he did the Trumas Halishka. It says our Gemara, Toni Rabbi Shmuel, Kovatz. What's a Kovatz? Two pshatim in the Taklan Charetim, but the first pshat is a person who has a Baal Seir. He has long hair. Oh, you know why he has long hair? Because he conveniently goes and smuggles out some of the coins in his hair. Lo Yitrem, he shouldn't go and be a person appointed to do the Trumas Halishka, Nechshad, for the same reason that we just gave now people be choshed, he's hiding coins in his hair. Tony, we learned in the Braisa, Hagizborim, Hoyu Mafaspasin, Bekilkin. What does that mean? So the Takan Chavitin says that they wore woolen garments, and they would go and pull and stretch the woolen garments to go and show that there were no hidden pockets or creases or wrinkles where someone might have hid one of these matbeis. In other words, what we would call today total transparency. But here it was emes, total transparency, as opposed to the politicians that they say they're being transparent when they're not. So mafasmasim means to kind of stretch on all of the strands and all of the threads, so it would be transparent. People would see there are no hidden creases or wrinkles where somebody might have inserted a coin. Tony, even further, the dabram hoyu imay mishoshu nichnis at shoshu yoytse. Wow, we were concerned that person might try to go and take coins and put it in his mouth, and this way hide it and have some revach from the stealing from the Trumas Halishka. So you know what they did? They had people that would join them and would talk to them the entire time so that he wasn't able to go and put anything into his mouth, because he put anything into his mouth, first of all, you would see. But number two, he wouldn't be able to speak normally. Try to fill your mouth. After the shir is over, do an experiment. Fill your mouth with coins and see whether you can speak in an intelligent fashion. Well, this way we know for sure he didn't insert any coins. Tomorrow, I have an easier etzah. V'yemali pumei moi. Why don't you just have him go and take a water bottle and go and don't drink from the bottle itself, but go and drink from a cup. Take the cup, fill up his mouth with water before he enters into the lishka, and when he comes out, make sure that his mouth is still full of water, so it's crystal clear that he doesn't have any coins in his mouth. Don't take the water bottle in, or the cup in. We're talking about he fills it up from the outside, goes in without any bottle, without any cups, just his mouth is full. That should be even a better answer. You don't have to have other people conducting a conversation. Oh, when a person is involved in the tournament in Trumas Halishka, he made a bracha. What bracha did he make? Sheriff Kirishana the Mitzvoy Sivanu Litroim Es Halishka. Litroim Es Hashkolim. So it was a special bracha that he made. Now, if you have in your mouth all of these coins, I'm sorry, if you had in your mouth water, it would be impossible to go and make such a bracha. So he had to have his mouth open, so he should make the bracha. Oh, once he's making the bracha, so what happens now? What guarantees us that he's not going to put in coins after the bracha as he's filling up the kupois with coins? For that we had to have people have a conversation with him the whole time to make sure he doesn't insert any coins in his mouth. So now the Gemara brings, we had at the end of the Mishnah, that the reason why we have to be very careful about the appearance of improprieties, so we brought psukim in the Torah, the yisim nekiyim me'ashem umi Yisrael. So now the Gemara brings psukim from Gans Tanakh. Reb Shmuel bar Nachman b'shem Reb Yoinison, but Torah, Ubedavim, Ubeksuvim, but Sonu, Shodam Tzorach Lotzis Yideha Brios, Kidera Shu Tzorach Lotzis Yideha Mokan. In other words, without these psukim, I can say, I don't care what people say. Klape Shmaya Galia, the Rabbeinu Shalom knows the truth. He knows that I am not a thief, and I'm not going to take any money from the Trumas Halishka. So let people talk. Who cares what people have to say? It doesn't bother me. No. It has to bother you. Why does it have to bother you? But Torah Mi 9, it says in the Torah, Dechsev Yisem, Nekiyem Hashem Umi Yisrael. This is referring to the 2.5 Shvatim, the Bnei Gad, Bnei Ruvein, and eventually the Chatzi Shevet Menashe, that they initially did not want to, they wanted to keep their Nachla Be'evra Yarden, and Moshe Rabbeinu got very angry at them. And ultimately, the deal was that they're going to go up Chalutzim, they're going to go first in the battlefront, together with the rest of Klal Yisrael, and by that they will show that they are being Noki Me'ashem Yisrael, that their true intention is not Chas V'Shalom to demoralize the other 10.5 Shvatim, but they're going to go and fight the battles in Eretz Yisrael together with everyone else. So the Loshon HaPasuk Yisim Nekiyim Me'ashem U'Mi Yisrael, that Klal Yisrael shouldn't have any complaints or tithes. But Avim Minayin, and Avim we find the same. Tichsif, Kelel Kim Hashem, and then Yisrael Hu Yoda. What is this all about? In fact, we're talking about the same 2.5 Shvatim, Me'ever Yarden, that it was reports coming to Eretz Yisrael that these 2.5 Shvatim had erected a big Mizbeach, Me'ever Yarden, and the other Shvatim were afraid, uh-oh, I think that the reason why they built that Mizbeach is Chas V'Shalom to go and bring a Takroivis for Avodah Zarah. And that was very troubling. And in fact, it came to the point that the other 10.5 Shvatim wanted to go and wage war against those 2.5 Shvatim for unfortunately going off the Derech and being Oyved Avodah Zarah. So before they did that, they sent representatives to have discussions with the 2.5 Shvatim. And the representatives of the 2.5 Shvatim said, fellas, you made a big error in judgment. The reason why we put up this Mizbeach is, in fact, as a symbol of our allegiance to Klal Yisrael and to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam and to the Mizbeach and to the Beis HaMikdash. We don't have a Beis HaMikdash by uns in the 2.5 Shvatim, but we wanted to put up this Mizbeach as our symbol of allegiance to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, Kehil Lekim Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows already. When you go back and tell the rest, Yisrael Hu Yoda, then Klal Yisrael will also know the real truth. And the representatives came back and they said, these Yidin are Baruch Hashem, Erlecha Fein Atayra Yidin, and there was no war because they were convinced that this was meant L'Shem Shemai. So you see, V'Yisrael Lekim Hashem, Umi Yisrael. V'Ksuv Minayin, D'Chsiv, Matzachayim, V'Seichel Toi, Be'en Lekim V'Yodam, which as you know, we quote in the benching. So it's not just enough Matzachayim, Be'en Lekim, it's got to be also the other. Gamliel Zuga, that was his name, Gamliel Zuga, maybe means Gamliel the Second, Chvaisish. Sholer Rabbi Yossi Bar Rebbe Bun, Ezea Mechubesh Bekulan, which is the best and the clearest of all of these psukim. See, the best one is Yisim Nekim Hashem Yisrael. This is crystal clear, like the Korban Eide says, Mevuror Umefoyra Shebekulan, that a person has to maintain at all times not only actual and real honesty and integrity, but he has to be able to go and push aside any perception, any appearance of potential impropriety. That's what a person has to do, not only the Hashem, but also Me Yisrael. Okay, on to the next Mishnah. Now, we had the beginning of this Mishnah already earlier on in our Masechta, that it says in the Mishnah that the Beis Rabbi Gamliel had a very interesting minhag, and that is on the 3 days where they did the Truma Salishka, B'Prois HaPesach, B'Prois HaAtzeres, B'Prois HaChag, people from the Beis Rabbi Gamliel, Hayin Nichnas, they would enter into the Lishka at the time of the Truma Salishka, and Ushkola Be'enetz Po'isav, and they were holding the Machtes Shekel in their fingers, V'Zorku Lefnei HaToyre, and they would throw it into the collection of coins that the Torah was lifting to put into the boxes. The Torah realized what this Beis Rabbi Gamliel person was doing, and he made sure that the Machtes HaShekel that was tossed in by the Beis Rabbi Gamliel people, that in fact entered into the Kupa, which was going to be used eventually to go and buy Karbonos in the forthcoming Zman. We'll talk about that more on the Amud Beis. Ein HaTorim Torim Achu Oim Lehem Etroim, then Oimrim Loi Troim 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 Sholosh Pa'am. We find this in other Masechtos as well, that there was a custom to add, apparently to add a little bit of pomp and circumstance to make it much more demonstrable and show what we're doing. So before the Gizborim that were toting the money into the boxes, they would first ask the other standing outside, Etroim, should I begin now the Truma? And they said, yes, yes, Troim, Troim, Troim. It says it 3 times. We find something similar. The Taklan Chadatin says, and in fact, at the time, the Moshul of the Ketziras Hu Oimer, how appropriate, because we just started counting the Sfiras Oimer. As you know, the Sfiras Oimer is a count from the time that they were first Kotzer the Oimer. They cut the new Tvua on Matzah Yontif. overnight they had to go and make sure that it dried out by roasting it, toasting it in the oven, and then they would go and mool it, they would grind it into flour, and then they would bring the korban oimer first day of Chol HaMoed, or first day of Chol HaMoed. Of course, in Eretz Yisrael today is already the second day of Chol HaMoed, but because it's Sfeika D'Yoyma, for us it's the first day of Chol HaMoed. So therefore, were we in Chutz La'aretz to bring the Karban Omer, which of course we could not, there's no Beis HaMikdash in Chutz La'aretz, but at least conceptually, today would be the day that they would bring the Omer. So how appropriate that we're talking about this today in the Daf. So it says that when the Kotzer were ready to go and cut the Omer, they would go and ask, Ektzor, should I go and cut? And they would say, yes, Ktzor. And this would happen three times. So similarly, we say in our Mishnah that before they were ready to be Torem, the Truma Salishka, they would go and ask three times, should I be Torem, should I not be Torem? And in fact, the Takel Charetim brings that even before they did the Ktzira, they would say, Magalzu, should I go and take the sickle? And they would say, yes, Magalzu. So it was always, they said it always three times. There's a machlokes and mafarshim pashup shad in our Mishnah. He asked Etroim three times. Etroim? Yes, Troim. Etroim? Yes, Troim. But others want to know he only asked it one time, and they responded three times, Troim, Troim, Troim. Okay, it doesn't really make much of a nafkamina, but the point is, a machlokes whether he said Etroim three times, he said Etroim once, and they responded three times. Now, what happened? Torah Mesri Shaini, the first time that they did the Truma Salishka, that was on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, or perhaps on Chof Tes Adar. Remember, we had a three-way machloikis in the Mishnah. So the first Truma took place, let's say Rosh Chodesh Nisan, Chof Tes. After they did the Truma, again, the Truma means that they took a bunch of coins, filled up three kupois, they wrote on the three kupois Aleph, Beis, Gimel, or Alpha, Beta, Gamma. Now they took those kupois out of the Lishka, and all the remaining coins, chipe bekatov liyos, they put on top of them large spreads, like large tablecloths, but these tablecloths were made out of leather, not out of linen, or made out of cotton. We're talking about they were made out of leather, like cow hides or something similar, and they covered over all the shirayim, the shiori alishka, with this katavla. And Hashniya, now, a few weeks later, the Proiso Atzeres, they did the same thing. They went and filled up all of the three boxes, took out the funds, and now covered over the Chipe Katavliyos. All the remaining coins, they put on this Katavla, this spread. Hashlishis, when they did this the third time, when it came, Sukkis, Lo Yoyim Machapa, they didn't go and cover it. What's going on over here? Why did they have the two cover-ups? And why didn't they do it the third time? The Gemara is telling us is that once they did the Truma Salishka the first time, all of the remaining coins were now, if you will, disqualified for future Truma Salishka. They became the Shirayim. So how am I going to go and do a second Truma Salishka in a few weeks? Because in the interim, new coins have come on the scene. Because remember that they did the Hachraza on Rosh Chodesh Adar, B'chol Tfutzos Yisrael. So throughout Klal Yisrael, people were sending in their coins. Those that lived in Yerushalayim, the coins came very quickly. Those were the basis of the coins used for the Trumas Halishka, the first time the Preisa Pesach. Those that lived a little bit further away, twice a person who lived in Haifa or Beersheba, the coins may not have come in by Rosh Chodesh Nisan, they only trickled in subsequently, but those were now added to the Lishka, and they were placed on top of the Kotavla that covered over the initial Shiyorei HaLishka, those initial coins that were not used to go and fill up the three kupois. You could no longer use the Shiyorei HaLishka because of the fact that they were, in a sense, rejected, not rejected expressly, but implicitly, because we took already the other coins. So they did a cover-up, and now new coins that came in subsequently, those would be placed on top of the katavla, and that was the basis of the filling of the next three boxes the next time. And this happened now after the second time, once again they put a katavla on, and between Shavuos and Sukkos, again, tons of new money came in from people that lived in Chvais and Bovel and Modai and further locations. And those now were on top of the katavla of the second cover-up. They were used now the third time. And now after the use of the third time, there's no need to go and put a katavla on, because even if new coins would come in, who cares? It doesn't make a difference, because there's no further trumas halishka. And we're going to talk about this more in the Mishnah and in the Gemara in Yetz Hashem. So it says again the Mishnah, why did they cover them over the first time and the second time? So they should not forget the Yitra min Adover HaTorim. Don't go and take the Trumas Alishka from funds that already had been part of the initial Trumas Alishka and had not been used. Those are now Shirayim, Shiari Alishka are now disqualified. We'll see a Machloikis in the Gemara, Ramei will disagree. But our Mishnah holds it disqualified, and therefore you can only make now the Truma from the new coins that come in the second time and the third time. And those coins would not get mixed in with the original coins, because there was this Machitza, this Katavla that separated between the old and the new. So says the Mishnah, Torah Meserish, yes.
Which lishka were the coins held in?
Our Mishnah only refers to it as the lishka. Where this lishka was, whether it's Betzafon or Bedoran, I don't know. Perhaps it is identified later on in Mesechtas Tamid and Midos, where it goes through all the various chambers in the Beis Hamikdash. I don't know offhand where the lishka was. I don't recall that the Mishnah made specific reference to it either. Maybe they in fact try to keep it a secret, so to speak. I doubt that, because since they did a Pumbi Bedavar and people were talking, presumably it was well known where that Lishka was and people were watching as they did the Trumas Lishka. Anyway, so the Mishnah tells us, Tormes or Rishoyna L'Shem Eretz Yisrael, Vashni L'Shem Krachim Hamu Kafenla, Vashlishis L'Shem Bava, U'L'Shem Modai, U'L'Shem Medinois Horachaykais. On the surface, what the Mishnah is telling us is that the new kabbonis that were brought starting from Rosh Chodesh Nisan, these were from the Truma Rishayna that were brought from the Eretz Yisrael people. In other words, people that lived very, very close, where the money came in initially already before Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Now, although the Mishnah uses the term L'Shem Eretz Yisrael, we're going to see in Yetshem on the Amud Beis a Braisa that it doesn't mean that these were only to give credit to the Bnei Eretz Yisrael, that they are the ones that are financing the karbonis over the next few weeks, because in fact, like we've learned in the Gemara before, that the karbonis were on behalf of Gans Klal Yisrael. Only reason why we mention L'Shem Eretz Yisrael, because we want to give them a special Yashakoyach and say, oh, thank you, Bnei Eretz Yisrael, that you came to the plate quickly, brought your money in quickly, so Baruch Hashem, we have the money to bring the new karbonis. But the actual karbonis were on behalf of the entire Klal Yisrael, even those that only gave the money later on, because their monies came in late. Vashniya, the second, they would say L'Shem Krachanam Ukafenla. The Gemara uses the Mishnah uses a very interesting expression. We don't literally mean Krachanam Ukafenla, rather we mean those cities which were close. You see, if you look at Taklin Chadit in the final line, Hainu Mekoymes Hasmuchim, show you Mevian Vashniya. That means not in Eretz Yisrael itself, but those countries that lived right, or those cities, etc., that were very, very close to Eretz Yisrael. They brought their monies in, or their monies finally arrived between Rosh Chodesh Nisan and 2 weeks or 1 week before Shavuos. The Mishnah uses L'Chodesh a borrowed term, Krachan HaMekafen La, because we find that by Purim, Krachan HaMekafen La. It doesn't have to be Dafka Krach that had a wall around it, he just means those cities that were very close to Eretz Yisrael. Vashlishis, the final monies that they would go and use and be toting on 2 weeks before Sukkis. L'shem Bavel, L'shem Modeh, L'shem Metinus HaRachoykais. We gave credit now, we said Yashakoyach, to all those that sent the money in from far and wide. The Zoktimar. So Beis Ram Gamliel. Their Beis Ram Gamliel made sure that they were standing there at the time of the Trumas Alishka, and they would place their coins there to make sure that was going to be put into the kupa and used for the kabbalas. So the Gemara is puzzled by this activity, by this act. Freitimar ilu hoyu shnei kriyim v'tormi echem v'hen al chaveroi shem lipotzach chaveroi. Don't we know when it comes to hilchos trumos u'masreis, assuming that you have two separate kriyim, kriyim means two heaps, l'mushal of tvur, and they were all from the same year, from the same crop, the same type, no problem, just there was so much, they didn't make one large heap, they made two heaps. What's the halacha? You don't have to go and give trumas and maisers from each one individually. You can go and give trumas and maisers from one and be moitzi automatically the other one. So here too, says the Gemara, even though only a certain amount landed up into the kupais, those people who gave machzis a sheker that remained behind in the lishka, aren't they also participants and shutvim in the kabonois tzibur that are brought based on these coins? Avada, yes. So even though those coins ultimately were not used for the kabonis, it makes no difference. They're yotzei just like the coins that did find their way into the kupa. Just like when you give truma meiser from one heap, it's totally effective for the second heap, even though no trumas and meisers were given from the second heap. So say tomorrow, why was it necessary for the Beis Ram Gamliel to do that, to come in and make sure that their coins were dafka in the kupa? Says the Gemara, of course it was not necessary, but anochas ruach ilahem, they felt better about themselves. Shlehi korbim miskarev elam ishalehem tchila. They wanted to have, they were very proud, and they, the Gemara is going to call this later, the midah of zrizus, that they were very diligent and devoted and dedicated, and said, of course I know that I could be like the masses of Klal Yisrael, that even if my truma did not reach into the, my machzis shekel didn't reach into the kupais, that I'm also one of the sponsors of the Kabbonis Tzibur, but I wanted to have not just to be yotzei as a follower, I wanted to be a leader. I wanted to make sure that my coins themselves were part of those kupa coins that are going to be used for the Kabbonis. So when the Mishnah tells us that, the Mishnah is telling it in a positive note, that these people are not just, you know, a little bit obsessed, but fakert. They wanted to go and show their chaviva samitzvah that the coins were actually used, they themselves, not just that they were yotzei, but these were the coins that were used to go and buy the kabbalas. Tony, we learned in the braisa, shomet es a katavlios nasu kulin shirayim. What happens if you pulled away the katavla and now new coins that were on top of the katavla fell down and mixed with the shiori halishka from the previous truma? Then they all become shirayim, and therefore you would not be able to use any of them. That's why it's very important to leave the katavla there so that the new coins do not become disqualified but can be used the next time for the truma salishka. Says the Gemara, Tani, shlishis he hoisa ashirish shebekulan. The third time when they did the Truma Salishka, they found the greatest amount of coins. Why? Shahuyuba istariois shel zahav, the dark koine shel zahav. What does the Gemara mean to say? You'll remember we learned in a Mishnah earlier on that when they were people, couriers, who had to go and schlep all of the coins from Chutz Laretz, from Bavel, from Madai, and other places, it's very heavy to go and carry thousands and tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands of coins, and they were able to convert them into dark coins. Remember, we had the dark coin was equal to either 4 or 3 machzis shekels, and they were made out of gold. So, assuming that they were the value of four machzis shekel silver coins, so that automatically you're talking about now a quarter of the weight, because it's one coin instead of 4 coins. But it's even lighter than that, because gold is worth more than silver. So it could be the size of a dime of a gold could be worth the size of 4 silver half dollars. And therefore, it was much, much lighter, but it was worth a lot more money. So by the time they came for the third truma, remember, the third truma, you had the longest period of time from Atzeres until Sukkot, basically 6 months worth, a little bit less than 6 months, 5 months worth of coins that had been sent in. And these were coming from all over, Modai and from Paras and Bavel and Medina Sarachaykais. So there was a very large quantity there. And that's what the Gemara means to say, that third Trumas Alishka, the coins that they were able to select from were Ashira Shebekulan. This was the richest of the three. Tani, we learned in the Braisa, this is a further amplification of the Mishnah. Torah Mitzvah Rishonim, when they did the first Trumas Alishka B'Prois HaPesach, they would say L'Shem Eretz Yisrael. That's what we already had in the Mishnah. But it added, U'L'Shem Kol Yisrael. Don't think that the only ones that have a chelik in these karbonis, only the Eretz Yisrael, because their monies reached in time for Rosh Chodesh Nissan. No, no. we taka give them credit and acknowledge the generosity of the Bnei Eretz Yisrael. However, the kabbalas are being brought for Gan's Klal Yisrael. And the same thing, Shnia, L'shem Krach and Hamukafim. Yet the monies came in from those cities which were close to Eretz Yisrael. But the kabbalas are being brought for L'shem Kol Yisrael. Vashlishis, L'shem Bavel Umadai, U'l'shem Medina Sarachaikis. But again, U'l'shem Kol Yisrael. Tony, we learned in the Braisa. We have the three kupais. What do we do with the three kupais? Notam and Rishayna. First you go and take, remember they were labeled Aleph, Beis, Gimel, or Alpha, Beta, Gamma. So therefore they took now from Alpha, from the first kupa. Alpha, Pishi, Yesh, Rishayna, Notam and Ashniya. We didn't want that we should use up all the coins in the Rishayna and all the coins in the Shniya, because maybe we'll have a situation that we won't even use any of the coins in the Shlishis, and we wanted to give a chelik to all the coins in all three kupais. So therefore, the Gizborim and the Kahanim obviously had a lot of experience, so they knew how much they would need from each kupa. So not only Rishonim, they first took coins from the Alpha box to buy Kurbanis, and Alpha Bishayesh Barishonim, even though there's still money left, in other words, let's say they used 75%, 80% of the money from the Rishayna, so they still have 20, 30% to go. They left the rest of the monies there, the Machzeh Shekel, in that first one. Now they go to Beta, to the second box, and they started using from the second box. Even though there's still some remaining in the second, they went on to the third box. Now what happens if, in fact, they needed more korbanos than the monies that were remaining in the third box, then Sholmer Shlishis, first they finished off the third box, that's the Gamma box. Once they're finished with that, Chos L'Shniyah, they go back to the second box. If Sholmer Shniyah, if they finished off all the monies in the second box, Chos L'Shniyah, they go back to the first box. And now we use all of the funds in all three boxes for all the korbanos. Sholmer Shlashtan, what happens if they finished all three of them? Then you got to go back into the Lishka, and you have to go and take further Shkolim. In other words, any Shkolim that were there that came in after the third time, I need more Shkolim. So you're going to go and take from those Shkolim, from the new Shkolim that had been donated since then. That's the Choyzer V'Shoykel. The Loshen of the Gemara Choyzer V'Shoykel means those shkolim that were not part of the shiore lishka that had been quote-unquote rejected the first three times, but new coins that came in subsequently, because after all, there could still be monies coming in from America or Europe that didn't have a chance to come in even before Sukkot. So these are really new coins. Says Remeir, take from those coins. Choyze v'shoyko. Not Remeir, the Tanakhama says choyze v'shoyko. Remeir oimer choyze l'shirai. No, you don't have to go to Nushkolim. You can go to the Shiori Alishka. Didn't we say the Shiori Alishka were in a sense rejected? So Remeir oimer my'alim b'shirai. We had this come already before, that Remeir holds that the din of Me'ila applies not only to the Machzeh Shekel, but even to the Shiori Alishka. Now why? The Shiori Lishka are no longer going to be brought for Kabbanos. As we're going to learn in Miyat Hashem in the forthcoming Mishnayos, the Shiori Lishka were used for other communal needs, like to go and build walls and to pave roads and things of that nature. So they're no longer Kodesh. No. Says Rav Meir, there is Mila B'Shirayim Shem Yitztarchu Lahen B'Soif, because like our case, that you finished off all three boxes, you needed further funds, you'll take those funds from the Shiori HaLishka. So you see that it's the potential in the Shiraim to be brought for Kabbanos, that's why the Din of Me'ila applies, says Rameh. Now, since we spoke about the Inyan of the Zrizis of the Kehanim, that the Beis Ram Gamliel, not the Kehanim, the Beis Ram Gamliel, that they were very diligent to make sure that their coins reached into the kupais to be brought for Kabbanos. And we also spoke about Nikius, the perception of impropriety. You have to be careful to be totally Noki Mi Hashem Umei Yisrael. So now the Gemara goes into a very interesting memra of Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair. This is also brought virtually verbatim in Masechtas Avodah Zarah and Masechtas Soita in a slightly different order. But it's basically the same. And this, for all of those of you that are familiar with the Sefer Mesilas Yesharim, Mesilas Yesharim is based on this Chazal, that you go from step to step, higher and higher in Avodas Hashem. Zerizis may via the Dana Kios. If you are a Zoriz, we translate Zoriz meaning acting quickly. But Zerizis in Avodas Hashem doesn't mean to act quickly. It means to act diligently. Like we say, Kehanim Zerizin, hey, yes, there is a sense of that they are Zoriz, that they act quickly, but also they are very scrupulous and meticulous. The word Zerizis over here includes the inyan of Zehirus. That person is meticulous in his performance of mitzvahs. By doing that, mevila de nekiyas, that person will eventually be a noki, he'll be cleansed, in the sense that he won't come the day aveira, because he'll be such a zoriz and zohir on the mitzvah satoir. Once you come to the midah of nekiyas, mevila de tahara, that brings you to a higher madrega of purity. Tahara mevila de kedusha, that brings you even to a higher madrega of kedusha, of holiness. Kedusha mevila de anova, that the person realizes that he's no greiser knacker, he's a pasher to yid, and his anova becomes a shval ruach, a person of humility and modesty. Anova mevila de yiras chet, when a person realizes that he is a gunished, then he's afraid to do any chet, because he's afraid chas v'sholem, oyoyoy. Yiras chet mevila de chasidus, this brings to a greater madrega of righteousness, of like a chasid. Chassidus mevili de ruach hakodesh. This goes even to a higher madrega. The person can be zocha to ruach hakodesh. Ruach hakodesh mevili de tchias amesim. This could lead to tchias amesim, meaning either the communal tchias amesim, or specifically this individual, if he happens to be on this lofty madrega of ruach hakodesh, at least potentially, the next madrega would be he could be mechayim amesim, like we find by Eliyahu and Elisha. Tchias amesim mevili de Eliyahu zocher l'toif. Here, the last one, it doesn't mean that after Tchias HaMesim, Eliyahu HaNavi is going to arrive on the scene, but to the contrary, if people are on that madrega, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be Mechayim Mesim, prior to that, he's going to bring Eliyahu HaNavi to the scene. Why do I say that? You'll see Mechem in the Gemara. The Gemara is going to bring Psukim for each one of these. So we start again. This reason Mevin L'Dei Nekiyas Tachsiv said in the Pasuk, V'chila Mikapres HaKoyish. Is referring to the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. V'chila means not only that he completed, but he did a complete service in the sense that everything was done scrupulously and meticulously, like a Kodesh Baruch Hu said, Mikaper. That brings on the Kapara, that brings on the Nekiyas. So that's the Mekoyer for this reason Mevin L'Dei Nekiyas. Nekiyas Mevin L'Dei Tahara Tachsiv, V'chipar Oleh HaKoyen. This is talking about a Yoledes, that the Kohen brings the Kabbonis on behalf of the Yoledes. V'tohera, now she's Tar. Oh, so you see from the Kapara, from the Nekiyas, that brings the Dei Tahar. Tahar mevili Dei Kudusha Dechsiv. V'tiru, v'kidshu b'mnei Yisrael. Oh, Tahara first, and that brings on to Kedusha. Kedusha mevili Dei Anova Dechsiv. Kichoy Omar, Rom v'nisa Shoichen ad v'kodesh Shemoy, Morim v'kodesh Eshkoin v'at Daka Ushval Ruach. Oh, so we start off the pasuk talking about kedusha, but we end off the ka bat daka ushval ruach. That's talking about anova, person that is a modest person, person of humility. Anova mivili de yiras chet tachsiv ekev anova yiras Hashem. Oh, that's very clear. As a result of the anova, the person reaches to the madriga of yiras Hashem, yiras chet. Yiras chet mivili de chasidut tachsiv v'chesed Hashem mi'olam v'yad olam. The word chesed, although here it means, of course, literally, person does chasadim, but here chesed Hashem, Kodesh Baruch Hu does chesed, but here the Gemara is enticing that a person who has reached the madrega of being a chasid, chasidus, says the pasuk chesed Hashem oilam bat oilam al yireyim, that will lead, so the other way around, not it leads to yireyim, but the person will have this chasidus mi Hashem, this bracha, this madrega of chasidus al yireyim, because he was previously a yirey chet, that will lead him to the chesed Hashem oilam bat oilam, lead him to chasidus. Chassidim mevi l'idei ruach hakodesh tachsiv, oz dibarta b'chosan l'chassidecha. Originally the person had chassidus, ruach hakodesh, oh, so oz dibarta b'chosan l'chassidecha, and then that will lead to the chosay. Chosan, of course, is a form of nevuah, like ruach hakodesh. So Kodesh Baruch Hu speaks b'chosay, like chazoy nevadya, chazoy nishaya. So the word, that's Shabbos Chazoyim, right? So that's a Lashon Nevuah, or Lashon Ruach HaKodesh. Oz Dibarta, the Kodesh Baruch Hu speaks to the Chassidim b'chazoyim in the form of Ruach HaKodesh. It's a simon that Chassidus b'vi l'idei Ruach HaKodesh. Ruach HaKodesh b'vi l'idei Tchias HaMeisim d'chsiv. Oh, here it's very clear. When Asati Ruchi b'chem, I instill my Ruach HaKodesh in you, v'chayisem, and that will bring a chiyus, a chayus of Tchias HaMeisim. Tchias HaMeisim b'vi l'idei Yel Yonah. Novi Zuchur HaToiv, d'chsiv in the Pasuk. Hine anoichi shalech lechem es Eliyahu hanavi lefnei bo yoyim Hashem ha-godol ba-noira. What's the yoyim Hashem godol ba-noira? That great, awesome day is the day of Tchias HaMeisim. Because Baruch Hu is going to send Eliyahu hanavi lefnei, before that day. So therefore, when it says here in the memory of Rav Pinchas ben Yoyim, that Ruach HaKodesh mevi'a l'day, Tchias HaMeisim mevi'a l'day Eliyahu, doesn't mean that after Tchias HaMeisim Eliyahu will come, but Eliyahu hanavi will come lefnei bo yoyim Hashem ha-godol ba-noira. Tanu b'shem Rav Meir, kol mi shekvur be'etz Yisrael, medar b'loshon ha-kodesh, v'oichu peroisim b'tahara, v'kodeh kriyash v'aboboikim ba'orav, a person who does all of those wonderful things, he lives in Eretz Yisrael, he is medar, but he only speaks the pure loshon ha-kodesh, he eats peroisim b'tahara, even though he's not a kohen, but he's a chover, and he's careful to eat everything b'tahara, and he lays kriyash v'aboboikim ba'orav, yehi mavusar sheben oylem abohu, he will have eventually all of these wonderful madregas, that he will be a ben chai olam haba. Vosep is these four things, kavur be'ed Yisrael, b'tabalish m'koydish, v'echol peroysev. So there's a very, very nice taklan chadatin, and it's brought also b'kitzer in the Karban Eda, that every person is made up of four things. Every person is a guf, he has the physical body, but then he also has what we know is called nefesh, ruach, and neshama. Although generally we use these terms kind of as synonymous, but these are different madregos in Avodas Hashem and the Shleimus HaNefesh. One of them, again, is the Nefesh, then you have the Ruach, and you have the Neshama. So the Taklan Chadatin says a person who lives in Eretz Yisrael, so then his Guf is in Eretz Yisrael, so he can be Mesak in his Guf to have the Shleimus HaGuf. A person with Dabar B'Loshon HaKodesh, he makes sure that the Ruach that leaves his mouth is always pure. Loshon HaKodesh doesn't only, like we translate it, to be Hebrew, but his losha and his speech, his kodesh, is holy. He doesn't engage chas v'shalom in nivul peh or speak nonsense and things of that nature. So that's shleimus and ruach. Peroisa b'tahara, he's very careful, just like the peirois grow. His nefesh is tzimachas, his nefesh also grows in a sense, so that purifies his nefesh. And finally, krishma b'vayikim ba'orev, that's the tikkun of the neshama. So therefore, by engaging all four of these, he's mashlim, the guf, the nefesh, the ruach, and neshama. This person, he will be zocha to be a ben oylem haba. Had luch perek shloshim prokim. Mechem tomorrow will continue on at 9:15 in Miat Hashem. Hatruma mahoyu oisin. But what did they do with the trumas halishka? Any questions, Rabbi Sai?
Yes, the Torah would have to be a kohen, or it could be a zar.
It didn't say in the Mishnah, so apparently it could be a zar as well. I wouldn't be surprised that it was kohanim because they were basically all over the Beis Hamikdash in charge of everything, but you know, we didn't have anything specific that limited it only to kohanim.
Does a kohen couldn't go, what was it, 30 days without a tisporet?
Okay.
Kohen Gadol had every day.
That's correct. The kohen Gadol had every week, with the melech that had every day.
No. And a stam, kind of regular kohen, was 30 days?
30 days, correct.
Right, so how could he have long hair for a kohen?
Maybe he was a nazir. And I don't know that there's any isur on a kohen. Also, the kohanim at the 30 days, I believe, is referring to the kohanim that are doing avoida as part of their beis ava, their mishmar. If you had a kohen that's not going to be called up for next 6 months, I'm assuming he could allow his hair to grow. He could therefore theoretically be a toren. He wasn't doing avoida, you know, be a toren malishka, but make sure he doesn't have long hair.
Why do we go back from the third to the second and from the second to the first? Don't you go back to the first? Why do we let the first one be the last to return to it?
We want to make sure that all of the coins and all of the kupois are being used for the kabanos, and we specially label them A, B, C, or alphabet gamma, that we start off with the first one, and then the second and the third. But we want to give everybody a chance in the karbanai, so the first one gets priority. And when we're down to chvai 70%, we have 20-30% left, we go into the second, and then on to the third, and then we go travel back, and therefore, although initially the first gets... I understand what you're asking. You're asking is, why don't we go back from third to the first? Why do we go from third to the second? And I'm assuming that the reason is...
The first has priority
in the beginning. But then we don't want the others to be, you know, second rate or second level. So therefore we go to second and a third. And then we complete the entire third. So the third shouldn't feel, I'm only third. No, no. All of the coins in the third were all used. And the second guy shouldn't feel that they're second, they're in the second level. No, no. We used all of the second coins before we came back to the first. And then it could theoretically be, I feel proud I was part of the first coins, the first kupa, but my coins weren't used because they were left on the bottom. We never got to them. So we started with priority. So give everybody a chance. Everybody should feel good. Nachas ruach. No, my pleasure. Okay, any other questions? Hearing none. Yes. Yes, Brother Shai.
Yar came to this level. That's why his behemoth wouldn't eat anything whatsoever.
Beautiful, beautiful. So, Brother Shai is telling too the famous Gemara about the Chamor of Pinchas Ben Yor that was very, very makbid about what it ate and what it had on its back because it came to a very high madrega. Obviously, your average behemoth doesn't get to that madrega, but the Gemara refers to the behemten shel tzadikim. Not only the tzadikim themselves, but even their behemoths come to a loftier level, and that's why the behemoth learned from its balim to be a chosid, if you will, to be very careful and meticulous about what it ate and what it had on its back.
Good
morning. Good morning to you too. Robert, you're in Mexico?
I'm in Mexico, yeah.
Okay.
Very nice.
Good.
Except the minyan starts at 7:15 locally, and it doesn't finish 8:15 after, so that's why I was late. I tried to run as best as I could.
It's our loss. Sorry. Anyway, but we're very happy you were able to attend as much as you were able to attend. So, have a wonderful Moed, everybody. And Amit Shem, continue tomorrow at 9:15. Zadke Ben, Zadke Zid.
Good night.
Good night.